WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
When we put together this Father's Day edition of Fresh Air, we knew we had to include a story told to us by Jim Gallopo. He's worked with Los Angeles gangs for close to 30 years. He's a probation officer with the Los Angeles County Metropolitan Specialized Gang Unit. Gallopo has an affinity for kids and gangs because he used to be like them. This is the story of how he turned his life around because of his father.
Well, I was a real delinquent when I was a kid. I was into stealing cars and fighting and breaking into liquor store warehouses and did commercial burglaries on music stores. And, you know, I mean, I was just a fast kid. My mother had multiple sclerosis and was dying since my birth. And my father was a milling machinist first at the Naval Shipyard in Long Beach and ultimately at Douglas Aircraft. And he worked a swing shift so he could, you know, take care of my mother. And when he'd even try to save his car by walking about 2 miles to a bus stop, taking a bus to Douglas, get there at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, come back, get back around 1 o'clock in the morning. They'd have to change my mother's total bed and wash her body and everything because she had defecated and urinated all over herself. And he'd get about 3 hours sleep, and then he'd have to get up, and he would get up and wake me up and cook me breakfast so he could be with me. You know, that's the only time we got to see each other. So I basically was on my own to do what I wanted to do all the time. And, I just got in with a fast crowd and got into drugs and violence and, you know, all this kind of thing. And he'd go out and go to work, and I'd sneak out of his car. You know, go pick up my homeboys, pick up girls, go do all this kind of stuff, drinking, using marijuana, you know, all this stuff when I was real young. And I got arrested a lot. So ultimately, one time I came to jail as usual, and they called my father at Douglas, and he'd have to, you know, after he got off work, he'd have to take a bus home, get in his car, and come down and get me out, which would usually be, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning or so. And, you know, the cops were, and the probation officer was there at the time, they were talking, you know, tell me what a punk I was and a little asshole and all that. And I'm telling them, "F you," and you know, "we're going to send you up." And I'm saying, get down and do it. I ain't afraid of your jail. You know, I kind of look forward to going to camp because, you know, then that was a badge of honor. And I thought it might be a nice experience, you know. And I wasn't afraid physically. So I was in a repartee with the police and the probation officer. And they were angry, and I knew they were going to send me up. And, you know, I had basically always been willing to be responsible for my own behavior that way. You know, I figured where I go, I do what I'm ready to do the time. So here comes my father. And I'm 6'1". I weigh about 230 pounds. In those days, I was, you know, a fairly good-sized kid, too. But, my dad was like 5'3", and my mother was like 5 feet. And they told him, you know, I would be a sickly, you know, child and all that. She could have had me aborted in 1942 when I was born. And, I mean, look how I turned out. Tells you the extent of medical science. But at any rate, this man who had never smoked, never drank, never womanized, all his whole social life was taking care of me and my mother, and they would go for rides when he didn't work. You know, they'd go for rides in the car, and that was his whole total existence. I was smart enough to realize at that time that I couldn't take care of my mother and without him. And the only prayer, I was raised Catholic, and the only prayer I ever said was, "Please, God, don't let this man die, you know, until I'm old enough that I could take care of my mother." And so here he came, you know, and I'd never seen the man cry. You know, he was quiet, gentle. You know, he was a man of extreme, you know, honor. But we were from New Hampshire. And we'd come out here when I was 10 years old, and we're French Canadians. They call us Canucks. And, and he never knew anything about the kind of life that there would be when he came to Long Beach. He came because my mother was, you know, unable to tolerate the winters in New Hampshire. So he just asked him at the Navy Yard, "Hey, is there a warmer climate that's got a Navy Yard that would want a milling machinist?" And they gave him a 2-week, with pay and, you know, to go out to Long Beach, and, you know, he put everything we owned on a 40 Plymouth like the grapes of wrath. So anyway, he came in, and I, you know, at the time, it was an existential moment. Because I was, you know, cussing out the cops, and they were in the probation officer cussing me out. Here comes my father, and they tell him, Mr. Gallipo, you know, we're going to have to take your son away from you. You know, he's just, you can't control him. I know you've tried everything. We know your wife is sick, but we're going to have to put him someplace where, you know, because he's just too wild and all this. And all, you know, and I looked around at my father and winked and said, hey, f*** them, you know, excuse me, you know, they ain't nothing, they can't hurt me, they put me in their camp, I'll be back out, no problem. And I looked at him, and he started crying. He just broke down physically and started sobbing. And I'd never seen this man. This man had been, without me knowing it, the strongest man I'd ever known, and to this date, he probably is. And I just, you know, I looked at him and realized I had done this to him. And he just broke down and started sobbing, telling him, look, I'll get another job too. You know, I'll put him in a private school. I'll work all day and night to pay for it. Don't take him away. It'll kill his mother. It will kill his mother to put him, you know, away. Please don't do that. I'll do anything. And all of a sudden I realized the prayer I'm praying to God, you know, I am executing. You know, I am killing this man. I am killing this man. You know, and he's doing this kind of thing for me and my mother, and I'm out there killing him. So I just did, then I turned around to them and said, hey, give me a chance, you know, and you ain't nothing and you ain't shit and you don't deserve to have a father like that. And I said, look, just give me one chance. Give me one chance. I'm not afraid to go to your jail, you know that, but please, I can't do this to them. I said, you give me a chance. And they did. They gave me 6 months to, you know, to straighten out my act. And you know, I went to my little gang meeting and told everybody, you know, that I was out, you know, that I loved them and that I loved the streets and the stuff we were doing, but that I just had to, you know, kind of explain the situation exactly as it occurred. And I mean, some of those guys cried, you know, and one guy came out with me. When I walked out of the meeting, he came out and said, hey, you know, my mother's a nurse, man. She's taking care of me and my sister alone, and I'm doing the same thing to her. He said, let's go get girlfriends. So, you know, I said, let's go down to the rich area and get girlfriends. And the next Saturday, we went down there and got girlfriends right away because we were like considered what they call hoods, and all the rich girls down at the beach, you know, were intrigued by us, and the surfer boys were afraid of us, you know, and all that. We just went down there and got girlfriends, and I didn't get arrested again until I was 18 years old.
Well, but you got arrested again when you were 18.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, I got good grades in school, and, right, you know, it was college material and all that. But that all happened at that moment because of my father, you know, and that changed my life.
Los Angeles probation officer Jim Gallipo, recorded in 1993. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers in our audience. We'll have more interviews from our archives next week at this time. This is Fresh Air.